Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Thought this morning, and that's what it is. It's a little thought. I have no outline this morning. I've got two passages of Scripture and two questions that I want to ask you, and then we'll go home this morning. And I was reading this week, and I'm constantly reading little books, and I love to get little books that Brother Dakota's just got seed thoughts in it, and I'll read through those. Ivor Powell has some of the best ones on that. Then I love to read just little motivational books where you can read just 4 or 5 pages a day and get just a good motivational thought. It may not even always be a spiritual thought, just a motivational thought. There's enough negative in the world today, amen. But I was reading this week, and I come across this question, and I began thinking and looking at different questions in the Bible, and I want to ask you two questions out of the Word of God this morning, you can answer those questions within yourself and then around an altar if you need to use that, amen, at the end of the service. Look what the Bible said in 1 Kings chapter number 18. Now, I'm just going to let you remain seated this morning. I usually don't do that, but it'll be all right this morning. When you come to 1 Kings 18, it's important to understand what's going on here in 1 Kings chapter number 18. Of course, Elijah has just been experiencing God's moving in his life. And God has been blessing Elijah. He's been by the brook. He's been at the widow's house. He's talked about it not raining anymore and then God sending the rain. And Elijah ends up at a standoff with the prophets of Baal. Now, the prophets of Baal was just those. Baal was a false god in that day. He had a following. He didn't, because he wasn't nobody. He was a false god. But there was what was known as the prophets of Baal. They promoted Baal religion, Baalism, if you want to put it that way. They was a promoter of Baalism. And Elijah finds himself at a place called Mount Carmel. And he's fixing to pray the fire of God down out of heaven. And my soul, what a passage of Scripture this is in chapter number 18. So Elijah is there that day. The prophets of Baal are there that day. And there's a crowd standing around watching. Let's pick up reading in verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." The Bible said in verse number 19, "Now therefore send and gather me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, here's point number one today. I don't have but two, all right? Here's point number one. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. How long halt ye between two opinions? Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us today. Add a blessing to the reading of thy word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've tried my best this week to allow my mind to go to Mount Carmel and sit on Mount Carmel this day. What an experience that would have been to be there, to see Elijah pray the fire of God down, to see the prophets of Baal be overwhelmed by what Elijah had done that day or by what God had done through Elijah that day. But as I read this, the Bible says that Elijah just didn't call the prophets of Baal there, but Elijah also called all of Israel there that day. It wasn't just those that was following Baal, but can we say it this way? It was those that was supposed to be following God there that day also. He brings them all together, and Elijah looks at them and says this, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" And I got to thinking about this. Evidently, Brother Dakota, there was some from Israel that was borderline on going to quote-unquote Baalism. And Elijah brings them all together, and here's what he says. The time has come, you got to make a decision. Are you going with God or are you going with Baal? Now, here's our first reaction this morning. If I was to take, I should have found me a halfway decent size statue of Buddha and brought it today. If I was to take Buddha and set Buddha right here, I'm trying to figure out somebody to be a good Buddha. I could find a good Buddha. Well, come here, Caleb, be Buddha this morning. Sit down there. There's Buddha. Come here, Dakota, and be God this morning. Son, you're moving up in examples, ain't you? So here's God, and and this is probably kind of what Jesus felt like on the cross with two thieves on either side of him. But anyway, here's God, and here's Baal. Let's put it that way. Here's God, and here's Baal. And if I was to walk by each person this morning, and I said, God or Baal, what would you say? You'd say God, wouldn't you? I know that you're looking at Caleb thinking, man, I wish he was God right now. And I said, God or Baal, what would you say? God or Baal? 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 Baal or God? God, see, he called it, didn't he? Miss Shannon, the choice is before us today. Are you going with God or are you going with Baal? I guarantee you if I walk by every person in this room, Brother Gray, God or Baal? Going with God. Brother Brian? Baal or God, Miss Gloria? God. She's listening today. Remington, God or Baal? Every person in this room would say that. I'm going with God. I'm not going with Baal. But evidently there was some of the Israelites that was leaning towards Baal because he brings them all together and he says to all of them, you got to choose today. Now, we will publicly say, I'm going with God. I'm not going with Baal. But what are we doing privately? You see, it's real easy to stand before everybody and say, I'm going with God, even though God's not Caleb right now. I'm going with God. It's easy to stand up at church and say, yes, I'm going with God. It's easy to sit in the Sunday school class and say, yes, I'm going with God. But what is the Baal in your life that is starting to overtake God? Oh no, we would never say, we would never admit that we was going to let anything overtake God. But hear me and hear me well, church. We come to places in our life where we have a Baal. What is your Baal today? Our Baal could be, I'm already picking on y'all, might as well pick a little more. Our Baal could be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And matter of fact, it's okay to say they're your boyfriend. I don't understand this. Well, we just friends. No, bless God. When me and Leslie started talking, it wasn't we was just friends. She had my high school ring on her index finger. That's how old school I am. Somebody say amen right there. Anybody else know what I'm talking about right there? Yeah, she had my high school ring on her. Brother Matt, I claimed her. It's all right to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. But if you're not careful, that boyfriend or that girlfriend will become Baal. Hear what I'm fixing to say. It's all right to like WWE. I guess. But if you're not careful, WWE will become Baal. It's all right. It's all right. When you have kids one day, to allow your kids to play t-ball, to play basketball, to play softball, to play baseball, to play basketball, to play volleyball, any other kind of ball, and any rodeo or anything else they want to do. It's all right to let them play golf. It's all right to let them go hunting. Hey, boys, you need you a good case double X pocket knife to put in your pocket. Just don't carry it to school. All right? That's all right. It's all right to take them hunting. Somebody say amen. It's all right. Hear me. I'm just going to preach a little bit this morning. It's all right to have a camper. It's all right. Ain't nothing about saying that you can't have a camper. It's all right to go on vacation. Somebody say amen. Thank God for vacations. I can't wait till May. I'm not going to lie to you. Brother Lord, when we get this building done, I'm gone for 7 days. See you later. I'm out of here, man. You say, well, you ought not be that way. Well, do you live beside the job you're working on every day? I'm just being real with you. I'm ready for a break. I'm not going to lie to you. There's nothing wrong with going on vacation. Somebody say amen. Help me this morning. But when T-ball becomes Baal, say, preacher, how do I know if T-ball has become Baal? Have you missed one service for it? When basketball becomes Baal, y'all going, thank God God's preaching tonight. Y'all get that in a minute. It's all right for your kids to play sports. That's not a sin. But there has to be this thing that's called balance in life. And the very first thing in our life, church, must be God. And we're all interested in seeing the fire of God fall. We're all interested in seeing the fire of God in our family. We're all interested in seeing God do these supernatural things like He did on Mount Carmel. But if we're ever going to experience that, you're going to have to decide if you're going with Baal or God. How long halt you between two opinions? I really believe that there's people in the church this morning that thing of salvation, and let me just back up and say this, it's not a thing, it's an eternal destiny that your soul is going to spend either in heaven or hell one day. And this thing of salvation, this choice of making on accepting the Lord as your personal Savior, you know what you've been doing? Service after service after service, you've been teeter-totting back and forth on God or Baal. Which one's it going to be? How long halt you between two opinions? This thing of being separated from the world. Somebody say amen right there. It's still right to live a holy life. It's still right for men to look like men. Somebody give me an amen right there. It's still right for men to look like men. Young boys, look like a man. Buy clothes that look like men. Do I really need to preach anymore right there? Bunch of feminists running around today in our society. Hey, look, clear your throat, talk like a man, walk like a man, act like a man. If you are a man, be a man. Are you with me this morning? It's still right for us to be separated. Young men ought to look like young men. Young preachers ought to look like young preachers. I'm just going to hit it while I'm there. It drives me crazy that preachers will dress up to go somewhere else more than they'll dress up to stand in a pulpit and preach. It ain't right. This thing of separation and holiness in our life, church, the world should see a difference in us. We are supposed to be different. We are supposed to be a peculiar people. It's all right that people look at us cross-eyed every once in a while. Ladies ought to look like ladies. Men ought to look like men. Separation from the world. How long halt ye between two opinions? Completely selling out to serve God. How long halt ye between two opinions? Man, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You know that, but you're just teeter-totting back and forth. A little bit of church and not a lot of church. Or you might be in church all the time, but boy, the life you're living outside of church sure isn't reflecting the church. It's time that we as the body of believers make a decision which way we're going. Is it Baal or is it God? How long halt you between two opinions? How long halt you between two opinions? How long halt you? He said, it's time. Somebody's got to make up their mind. Well, he's talking about this in Sunday school this morning. We're talking about this in Sunday school this morning. We're talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And how sobering that judgment seat is. I think sometimes we get in our mind that we're just going to go to heaven and everything's going to be good. And we're going to get there and we're just going to walk around in heaven as soon as we get there. And everything's just going to be great. No, I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord comes back and we make it to heaven, hear me and hear me well. There's going to be a judgment day. And we're going to stand in the presence of a thrice holy God. And we're going to give an account not for our sins, because my sins was paid for on Calvary. Somebody say amen. Thank God they're under the blood of Calvary today. I'm not going to give an account for my sins, Brother Dakota. All of that was already taken care of on Calvary one day. But what I am going to give an account for at that great judgment day is what I've done for God. And why I done what I done for God. Because I'm going to tell you something. If we done it just to get a pat on the back, then I can promise you there's not going to be no reward in heaven. It'll burn up as hay, wood, and stubble is what the Bible says. We're not getting a reward for it. But that judgment day is coming in our life. And that day it will be revealed in our service to Him if we chose Baal or if we chose God. Our service to Him, being completely surrendered to Him. I remember the day I got saved. I hope you remember the day you got saved. I remember the day I got saved. I remember the day I got called to preach. 1996, when I started preaching. That's a long, you remember 1996? 1996, when I started preaching. You remember 1996? You think I'm old, don't you? I was 18 in 1996. 1999, Leslie and I got married. And September the 4th, 1999, we got married. In November of 1999, in a missions conference, Leslie and I went to the altar together as husband and wife. We had both previously surrendered our life to the Lord for whatever He wanted for us. But as husband and wife that night, we went, and I can still take you to the place at Turner's Creek Baptist Church. Turner's Creek will always be a special place to me. I got saved there. I surrendered to preach there. I met Miss Leslie there. We got married there, and that's where we surrendered our lives to God at. And I can take you back to the place on the left-hand side of the altar where me and Miss Leslie knelt that night. And we said, God, whatever it is that You want for our life, that's what we want. Whether it's here or in a third world country, whatever it is, God hears our life. We want You to have it. A total surrenderance to Christ. And take you back to the altar when I dedicated Madeline, she's here somewhere. Take you back to the altar when I dedicated Olivia. And take you back to the altar when I dedicated Victoria. Let me tell you the reason why. They're not my kids. They're His kids. And it's what He wants for their life. I'm talking about Belle and God. How long caught you between two opinions? I'll just be real with you for just a minute. I told you I didn't have but 2 points. I'm about to go to number 2. There's hope. I'm about done. It would be unreal what could truly get done for Christ if every born-again Christian in this room totally surrendered their life to Him this morning. Let me tell you what keeps you from totally surrendering your life to Christ. Baal. What's your Baal this morning? What's your Baal? I'll tell you something, a job could be Baal. I know you got to work. I understand that. If you can between now and March, get you a little bit of overtime so you can buy 4 seats instead of 2, okay? Just don't get it on Sundays and Wednesday night. You say, preacher, you really believe that? If a job requires that, it's one thing. Just to pick it up so you can put more money in your pocket and miss church, that's quite another thing. It's become Baal. It's become Baal. It's become Baal. How long caught you between two opinions? If I walk through the church today, Addie, Baal or God? Which one? Baal or God? God. You sure about that? God. Caleb, Baal or God? Alexis? God. Brother Tim? Well, it's easy to say, isn't it? How long caught you between two opinions? Flip back just a couple pages. Let me show you one more thing. I'm not going to spend long right here. Flip back to 2 Samuel 19. You okay, Baal? You okay, God? Flip back to 2 Samuel 19. There's a man that is talked about in 2 Samuel 19. It's a very interesting man to study. His name is Barzillai. Barzillai was a very good friend to David when David had to run because they was trying to overtake his kingdom. And he gave David things. He took care of David. David ends up wanting to take Barzillai back to Jerusalem with him once he makes his entrance back in. Barzillai ends up not going. And if you've got any notes in your Bible, you'll remember that I preached a message on that, on missing God's best. He was a good man. Matter of fact, whenever you read about him, it's said about him that that he was a great man, and it talks about, matter of fact, there's that said about him, and it's only said about 4 other men in the Bible. But I'm interested on one statement that he makes in verse 34. And Barzillai said unto the king, here's an interesting statement, a question. How long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? How long have I to live? You see, if you don't mind starting to play softly, Miss Tanya. See, every one of us in this room this morning struggles with Baal. We all have a Baal. Some may have more than one Baal, but we all have a Baal. That Baal causes us to miss God's very best for our life. And can I tell you something? Oh man, I could preach so long right here, but I'm not. Can I tell you something? The devil will open a door to a good thing to keep you from doing the best thing. And it will cause you to miss God's will in your life. And for a short season, you may think it's great. But before it's all said and done, you'll find yourself, you may have a smile on the outside, but on the inside, you're miserable because you missed it. And Baal has crept into our life. God's still where God's always been, but Baal has crept into our life. And we sit here today halted between two opinions. Am I going to give God everything? If I'm not saved, number one, am I going to get saved? If I am saved, am I going to give Him everything? Am I going to totally surrender my life to Him? My home to Him? My wife to Him? If you're a lady, my husband to Him, my children to Him, my finances to Him, my job to Him. Everything is His. Baal keeps us from doing that. So we're sitting here today and we're halted between two opinions. And here's what Satan says. Satan comes by and he says something like this. I'm glad you're going to church. But just wait till next Sunday to make that decision. Do you know Satan will never tell you not to get saved? He'll just tell you to wait to get saved. It's good that your daddy's a preacher, and I'm glad that you're playing the guitar and serving the Lord and singing. But just wait till next Sunday to give Him everything. I know the Lord's been talking to you about making things right with that person that you're mad at and that you treated wrong and snapped off at. But just wait till next Sunday. Make it right next Sunday. I tell you what, just wait one more week, old Gray. You prayed a little bit this week. You read a little bit, just wait till next week to really give God everything. That's what Satan does, Brother Josh. And Baal creeps up in our life, and here we are halted between two opinions. Well, you know what old Brother Barzella said to us? As he's looking at King David with an opportunity to go into the kingdom with King David, and to live with Him. How long shall I live? So my second point today is this. How long shall I live? If anybody can tell me exactly when you're going to die, or if you could tell me exactly when I was going to die and be accurate on it, I would really like to know. You say, why? Because there's some things that I'd like to get taken care of. I'm not talking about traveling somewhere. I'm talking about there's some people I'd really like to go tell about God. I'm talking about there's still some things that I'd like to do for the Lord before I die. Because I've really missed the mark in a lot of areas. If I'm just real honest with you. So how long shall I live? I don't know. I might be taking... This might be my last day. I don't know. I think I'm okay. I feel okay. I don't think I've got no clogged up arteries because everybody scares me so much I think they keep cleaned out. But I don't know for certain. There may be something in my body right now that I don't know about. Might be something in my mind, don't nobody laugh, that I don't know about. There might be something already starting to grow on my brain that I don't know about. There might be a clot already in somewhere in my body that's going to turn loose and go to my mind or my brain for the days out, or my heart or my lung. And before the sun goes down, my whole life may be changed. Boy, I hope not. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of meeting the Lord. I am afraid of the way I'm going to die. I'm not going to lie about it. I don't want to suffer. I don't like to hurt. How long have I to live? I don't know. I really hope to see the building done. I really hope to have a service in it. I really hope to see it full. But boys, let's just be real about this thing. We don't know. So if we are going to do anything for God, if we are going to tell anybody about God, if we are going to serve Him, we better do it. Let me tell you what we better do with Baal. Whatever that Baal is, we better tear him off his throne this morning and put him back where he belongs and say, Baal's not even an option to me anymore. I just want the Lord. And whatever it is He has, I just want Him to be pleased with me. I just want to hear Him that day at the judgment seat say, well done. Boy, I'm telling you something. We got our minds mixed up when it comes to heaven. There'll be tears shed. It's not after the great white throne judgment, a whole other judgment than the judgment seat, that tears are wiped away. Let me tell you the reason why. Because when you're standing in the presence of a holy God, and those people that you never told about God, those people that you never witnessed to, those people that you talked to about everything else, but you never told them about the Lord, when they die and go to hell, and we're standing, at that great white throne judgment and see our loved ones cast into hell and our friends cast into hell, we're going to wish that we'd have got rid of Baal and served God. It'll be too late at that moment. So while we can, it's time that we quit halting between two opinions. And it's time that we find our place around an altar and say, God, it's You. Everything that I have, I give to You. Every breath that I have, I give to You. Every minute that I've got left to live, I give to You. Hear me and hear me well. That don't mean that we live a secluded, miserable life. The greatest life is a life lived in the service of God. And we give it to Him. What's your bail this morning? And why halt you between two opinions? How long have you to live? Well, I don't know. We plan to have a good time with the young adults after church tonight. But all that could change. If we could just ever really grasp the seriousness of heaven and of hell and of serving Jesus and of living our life for Him and Him being pleased with us, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else does, that He's pleased in everything in our life. How long halt ye between two opinions? It's easy to say God in front of everybody, but who really is it today? Father.